WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin at court in Delaware, where the president's son is expected to plead not guilty today to felony gun charges.
The defense team argued for a virtual hearing. The Delaware judge ordered the president's son to appear in person to enter his plea, emphasizing the defendant should not receive special treatment in this matter. And the Justice Department said an in-person hearing is important to promote the public's confidence. Catherine Herridge, CBS News, Wilmington, Delaware.
If he's convicted, Hunter Biden could face up to 25 years in prison. Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar has his car back after it was stolen at gunpoint outside a Washington, D.C. apartment building last night. WUSA-TV's Jess Arnold.
Police said it was three men who ended up approaching the congressman. They demanded his car. He was actually parking his vehicle when these men came up to him.
D.C. police say Cuellar was not injured. They have yet to track down the suspects. Americans could suffer the fallout from yet another labor strike starting tomorrow. Tens of thousands of healthcare workers are threatening to walk off their jobs at Kaiser Permanente locations in seven states and Washington, D.C. Correspondent Anna Werner.
If a deal is not met, the workers would strike Wednesday for up to 3 days. Patients might experience delays or cancellations, including those who need to fill a prescription or need lab work or x-rays. So it's a big deal.
The path has just been cleared for the parents of a school shooter in Michigan to stand trial. The state Supreme Court has turned down an appeal by James and Jennifer Crumbly, accused of making a gun available to their son Ethan and ignoring his mental health issues. He pleaded guilty to killing four fellow students at Oxford High 2 years ago. U.S. officials have issued the first ever fine for space junk. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The fine of $150,000 on TV company Dish is for failure to properly deorbit a satellite called Echo Star 7. It was in orbit since 2002. The government claims Dish moved it to a lower altitude than agreed upon, and it could have posed orbital debris concerns. The European Space Agency estimates nearly 1 million pieces of space debris, big enough to disable a spacecraft, are in the Earth's orbit.
Three scientists have been awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics for studying how electrons zip around the atom at one quintillionth of a second. Winner Anne-Louis Ye got the news while she was teaching.
The last half hour of my lecture was a bit difficult to do, but yes.
The goal of the research, better detecting diseases. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Some days
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Democratic primary race to challenge U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District just got a little more crowded. Stevens Point State Representative Katrina Shankland has announced she will join Rebecca Cook, Tara Johnson, and Aaron Knights in the Democratic primary race. Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District is considered a swing district, which Representative Van Orden won by 4 points in 2022. Four Wisconsin residents have filed a federal lawsuit challenging a Wisconsin law that requires absentee voters to complete their ballots in the presence of a witness who can attest to the voter's eligibility. According to a Democracy Docket report, the residents who brought the suit argue that the witness requirement violates a section of the Voting Rights Act, which prohibits denying the right to vote on the basis of a citizen's failure to comply with a test or device. The requirement is also the subject of a state-level lawsuit. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Nation, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He shouldn't even have BLTs that are a terrible sandwich.
Oh, I love BLTs.
So do I.
The one deli sandwich I could have.
Greg, don't yuck my yum, dude.
I will.
We've already established on this show today that Greg is happy to judge people's yums.
Bring me your yums, for I am the yum judge.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Terry Madness, Graham Nash on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And we have 66 degrees right now in La Crosse under mostly sunny skies. Hayward has 68 degrees and sunshine. And before the break, we were discussing this statement by John Kelly, former chief of staff to Donald Trump, a statement to CNN given yesterday. And we went during the first hour, we went over that statement and the story at CNN. And now we're going through an analysis at the Washington Post of the statement to CNN with John Kelly evidently confirming all of these statements that had been attributed to the former president, Donald Trump. And I was to the point in this Washington Post analysis that says a man who was present for these key events all of these statements, now effectively says that it not only happened, but it happened over and over again. Another recent story from Jeff Goldberg of The Atlantic described Trump telling the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, in 2019, that no one wants to see that, the wounded, after a severely injured Army captain sang God Bless America at an event. Trump allegedly told Milley not to have the man appear in public again. Trump has denied the remarks, but the statement from John Kelly said that what else can you say about that type of person? And this analysis in the Washington Post goes on and says, quoting from the statement, a person who is not truthful regarding his position on the protection of unborn life, on women, on minorities, on evangelical Christians, on Jews, on working men and women. So the analysis continues and says, this is where the statement starts going beyond veterans and mere confirmation of things already reported. John Kelly suggests Trump doesn't just denigrate veterans, but also holds very different views than he portrays publicly about these issues and groups, and perhaps denigrates them too. It's the kind of comment that seems to invite further elaboration. So the piece from Kelly, the statement says, a person that has no idea what America stands for and has no idea what America is all about. A person who cavalierly suggests that a selfless warrior who has served his country for 40 years in peacetime and war should lose his life for treason in expectation that someone will take action. Again, the subtext here is striking. This refers to Trump's recent comments accusing Milley of treason. Trump added that Milley's actions were so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. Kelly's comment that Trump was saying this in expectation that someone will take action sure sounds like he is accusing Trump of attempting to incite violence against now retired Milley. The statement from Kelly goes on and says, a person who admires autocrats and murderous dictators, a person that has nothing but contempt for our democratic institutions, our Constitution, and the rule of law. There is nothing more that can be said, Kelly concluded. God help us. Kelly has criticized Trump before, but his starkest comments have often been reported secondhand. You can now add him to the list of former top aides warning in some very strong terms about another Trump term, and effectively labeling Trump a clear and present danger. That's the analysis from the Washington Post about the front runner in the Republican Party for nominee for president. Did you get to see any of the coverage yesterday of the former president in court and the comments that he made standing on the steps of the courthouse? It was, to use a word that Trump likes to use, it was deranged. Okay. I have a story here from NBC News with a headline that says Trump grows angry and rails outside the courtroom where New York Attorney General began presenting civil fraud case. The no jury trial in Manhattan is expected to last nearly 3 months. Former President Donald Trump and several of his children are listed as potential witnesses. This piece was posted last night at NBC News. It says Donald Trump was in the courtroom Monday for the beginning of the New York Attorney General's $250 million civil fraud trial against him, his company, and two of his children, a case that could have widespread implications for the former president's businesses. Trump, who was not required to attend the trial, sat with his arms crossed for most of the AG attorney Kevin Wallace's presentation to Judge Arthur Engoron, occasionally tapping his foot. The trial puts Trump's business acumen into focus as the AG's office seeks to portray the image-fixated ex-president as a fraud who intentionally overstated his successes. After opening statements were done, Trump walked out of the courtroom shooting an angry glare at Attorney General Letitia James. Quote, "We're going to be here for months with a judge that already made up his mind. It's ridiculous," Trump complained to reporters during the lunch break, amping up his attacks on Engoron, whose rulings could cost Trump's company hundreds of millions of dollars and affect its ability to do business in New York. "This is a judge that should be disbarred. This is a judge that should be out of office. This is a judge that some people say could be charged criminally for what he's doing. He's interfering with an election, and it's a disgrace," Trump said. In his opening statement, Wallace told Engoron that Trump and officials at his company had engaged in persistent illegal acts with overly inflated financial statements with values that were determined by Donald Trump. He said Trump overvalued his financial statements by $812 million to $2.2 billion, knew that they were false, and used them to obtain loans at terms he was not entitled to and other benefits. Trump tried to blame former Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg for the financial certifications at his deposition in the case, Wallace said, but he was lying. The civil trial kicks off what might be a series of courtroom appearances by Trump, who also faces criminal charges in four different jurisdictions, including two cases in connection with his bid to overturn the 2020 election. Trump has sought to paint all of his legal woes as political retribution and an attempt or an effort to keep him from returning to power as he holds on to the lead in the Republican primary campaign. How much time do we have left, by the way? A minute or so? Yeah. All right, well, we better go to a break. And stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Under the helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and three TDs against the JV team.
Oh, my God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but
I ain't gonna call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It is going to be another warm one today. Partly cloudy, up to 84 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 15 to 25. Picking up a little more, I think, this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms, 65. Tomorrow, a lingering shower or thundershower in the morning, then partly cloudy, cooler, 71. By Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of only 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Maybe heading south. 35, you
your hometown.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 925 right now. And we have 71 degrees with sunshine in La Crosse. Richland Center is at 65 degrees with sunshine. Most areas today looking for highs in the 80s, low 80s up north, and mid to upper 80s the further south you go in western Wisconsin. And hey, just before the break, we were discussing the trial in New York, the Trump trial, facing criminal charges on overinflating the value of his properties. And I was going over a story at NBC News about Trump growing angry and railing outside the courthouse yesterday several times about the judge and about the legal process. All kinds of things, attacking the judge, the whole process. And I was to the place in this NBC report that says Trump's attorney, Christopher Keiss, said in his opening statement yesterday that the evidence would show Trump made many billions of dollars being right about real estate investments and built one of the most successful real estate empires in the world and one of the most successful brands. Everything is a superlative, right? The most successful, and many billions of dollars. It's always the most. He told the judge that valuations are subjective and noted that Trump never defaulted on any of the loans. There was no fraud, Keiss said. President Trump did not make any false statements. The no jury trial in Manhattan, which is expected to last about 3 months, concluding by December 22nd, will be decided by Judge Engoron. Keiss was followed by combative Trump attorney Alina Haba, who has clashed with Engoron in the past. Haba called former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, one of the AG's witnesses, a liar, suggested James' investigation, Letitia James' investigation, was politically motivated, and complained that Letitia James was undervaluing Mar-a-Lago, Trump's Florida club, which she said is worth at least $1 billion. The attorney general's office said its value is closer to $75 million. Let's take a break. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Hunter Biden is set to appear in court in Delaware next hour to face felony gun charges. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Given his response to the plea deal that evaporated over the summer and the aggressive posture he has taken once he learned that the government planned to indict him after all, he will surely plead not guilty.
At court in New York, jury selection beginning in the fraud and money laundering trial of fallen crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried. CBS's Jolene Kent.
Prosecutors believe SBF defrauded investors, customers, and the Federal Election Commission, sparking a death spiral in the crypto industry that has yet to recover.
Tens of thousands of Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers could walk off their jobs tomorrow. Stephanie Felix-Soey is a union president.
It's real slap in the face when we're talking about movement of half percentages when it comes to wage increases.
They're also demanding better staffing. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities are investigating an armed robbery at the Wisconsin Credit Union on Claremont Avenue in Eau Claire. The robbery reportedly occurred around 12:30 p.m. on Monday, and police say a handgun was displayed during the robbery. The suspect fled from the scene before police arrived and no injuries were reported. Officials have not identified a suspect and are working with the FBI to investigate the robbery. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will present a newly revised wolf population management plan during their meeting this month. The plan seeks to ensure a healthy wolf population to fulfill its ecological role, reduce wolf-related conflict, promote wildlife tourism, sporting, and public education, conduct scientific research, and present more science-based wolf management plans in the future. The State Senate Committee of Financial Institutions and Sporting Heritage has pushed for a lower quota of wolves in the state. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Little.
hatred, you reward for our love. Telling us of your God above, we're gonna chase those crazy. Chase those crazy bumpets. Chase those crazy ballheads out of the yard.
Yeah, chase those crazy baldheads. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:35 right now. And we've got 69 degrees in Eau Claire under sunny skies. Amory also at 69 degrees with sunshine. And if you have any comments on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And just before the break, we were discussing the events that went on yesterday at the courthouse in Manhattan. Donald Trump showing up for his trial. And I guess he's going to be there again today. But we were going over a piece from NBC News, excuse me, that talks about Trump yesterday evidently getting angry and railing outside the courthouse about the judge, the whole process. And I was to the point in this story from NBC where they were discussing the attorneys for Trump. Alina Haba, Trump attorney, called former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, who is, by the way, one of the witnesses for the state, called him a liar and suggested that Letitia James' investigation was politically motivated, and complained that she was undervaluing Mar-a-Lago, Letitia James, undervaluing Mar-a-Lago, Trump's Florida club, which the attorney said is worth at least $1 billion. But the attorney general's office said the value of that property is closer to $75 million, not $1 billion. Haba, the attorney for Trump, also complained that Trump did want a jury to hear the case. But Engoron, the judge, noted that Trump's team had never asked for a jury trial. The first witness called by the attorney general's office yesterday was Donald Bender, Trump's former accountant. Bender testified at last year's criminal tax fraud trial against two Trump Organization companies that were ultimately convicted and then fined $1.6 million. Bender testified yesterday about how he would compile Trump's financial statements, the documents the attorney general said had inflated values. Bender said he used information that was sent to him from the company to put them together. Though Bender was speaking in fairly dry technical terms, many in the courtroom seemed to be enthralled. As the testimony went on through the afternoon, Trump appeared agitated at times, his face beet red while he whispered to his attorneys. His demeanor changed at the end of the court day when Engoron, the judge, told the attorney general's office some of Bender's testimony was redundant and needed to be tied into contracts within the statute of limitations in the case to be considered relevant. Kais, the attorney for Trump, stood up and said he agreed, and Trump gave two thumbs up. Bender's testimony will resume Tuesday morning, that's today. Earlier in the day yesterday, Trump addressed the media outside the courtroom as he arrived for the trial at 10 a.m., attacking Letitia James and accusing her of having filed the case to damage him politically. He said, "They're trying to damage me so I don't do as well as I'm doing," said Trump, who is the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination. Judge Engoron recently sided in part with Letitia James' office, finding that Trump committed repeated acts of fraud for years that included lying to banks and insurers by both overvaluing and undervaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth by billions of dollars. Trump's arguments to defend the fraudulent statements are based in a fantasy world, not the real world,
Judge Engoron wrote in a 35-page ruling last week. And that ruling, which allowed the case to go to trial this week, will also have practical repercussions for Trump's numerous limited liability companies, or LLCs. The order set in motion a dissolution process for entities like Trump Organization, LLC, which has helped expand the Trump brand over the years. The outstanding issues in the case, beyond what Judge Engoron ruled on last week, will be resolved at trial. Keiss, the attorney for Trump, has called the ruling outrageous and said he planned to appeal. Trump has repeatedly disparaged Judge Engoron, including as recently as Sunday night, when he called Engoron a Trump-hating judge who is unfair, unhinged, and vicious in his pursuit of me, in a post on Truth Social. Trump confirmed on Sunday on Truth Social that he would be in the courtroom for the opening of the trial to fight for my name and reputation. He's expected to attend the first 2 days of the proceedings. Letitia James was in the courtroom Monday for the beginning of the trial. Trump did not acknowledge her as he walked in, followed by his son, Eric. Before he entered, Trump criticized the Attorney General, Letitia James, directly in remarks in the hallway, calling her a corrupt attorney general. And here's a quote from Trump. He said in the courthouse, "Everything was perfect. There was no crime. The crime is against me." That's what Trump said in the courthouse, where Walt Nauta, his aide and co-defendant on federal charges that he mishandled classified documents, was in his entourage. And as always, everything is superlative, right? Everything was perfect, he said. There was no crime. The crime is against me. Letitia James said in a statement ahead of the trial, quote, "No matter how rich or powerful you are, there are not two sets of laws for people in this country. The rule of law must apply equally to everyone, and it is my responsibility to make sure that it does," end quote. She told reporters on her way into court that no one is above the law, and it's my responsibility and my duty and my job to enforce it. Trump and three of his children, Don Jr. and Eric, who are senior executives in the Trump Organization, and his daughter Ivanka are among the 28 witnesses the Attorney General's office plans to call. Weisselberg, the company's former chief financial officer, is also set to take the stand, in addition to Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer. Weisselberg testified against the Trump Organization at a criminal trial last year and was sentenced to 5 months in jail in connection with his role in the company's 15-year tax fraud scheme. The Trump Organization was convicted on 17 counts related to conspiracy, criminal tax fraud, and falsifying business records. And as we mentioned earlier, it was hit with a fine, or with fines, of $1.6 million. So that is the story from NBC News about what went down in the courthouse yesterday. And evidently, they are back in the courthouse today for day two. Trump is supposed to be there. And make sure you stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station for updates throughout the day. Hey, the next thing I want to get to before we take another break, by the way, the time now, 9:44. Is what's going on here in Wisconsin in the 3rd Congressional District. Seems to be an expanding group of people running for that seat. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says here, Democratic race for Wisconsin battleground, 3rd Congressional District to grow with entrance of Katrina Shankland. Stevens Point, State Representative Katrina Shankland this week plans to join the growing Democratic primary race to challenge freshman Republican U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden for a key Wisconsin battleground district in 2024. Shankland did not respond to a request to comment yesterday, but multiple Democrats with knowledge of her thinking confirmed her plans to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The impending announcement will make Shankland the fourth Democrat to declare a bid for the state's Western 3rd Congressional District, which has been marked as a target seat this cycle by national Democrats. She joins former Eau Claire small business owner Rebecca Cook, who lost last year's primary for the seat, former La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson, and Erin Knights, a Harvard Law School student, in the primary race. Shankland has scheduled an announcement for 10 a.m. today at Stevens Point Brewery in Stevens Point. Shankland and Johnson's decisions to launch campaigns in the district came after two Democrats in last year's contest for the seat said this summer they would not run again. State Senator Brad Pfaff, who lost to Van Orden by 4 points last November, decided to run for re-election to the state Senate, and former CIA officer Deb McGrath also bowed out, citing undisclosed personal reasons. In recent weeks, a number of prominent Democrats have thrown their support behind Johnson. McGrath told the Journal Sentinel last month that she was endorsing Johnson, and on Monday, Johnson's campaign announced endorsements from Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, State Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska,